I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we had kind of a last-minute opportunity to have Mark Joseph in the studio, and we said, heck yeah. Welcome back, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So the last time Mark was here, it was as a member of the Big Woo. They were doing an acoustic trio thing up at Lutzen, and that was last year. And now Mark has his own album out, and it's a blues album, right, Mark?
Yeah, blues record came out in September, and we're just out here promoting it, and we're really excited about it.
And it's not new for you to do solo stuff. You have been a solo performer in the past. And
yep, I've been playing solo stuff all throughout my career, mm-hmm. and this is my second full-length Mark Joseph record.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And you are playing tonight at the Caddy Shack in Duluth Lincoln Park, and what time does that show start?
It's kick off right around 8 o'clock tonight. And, we'll be doing two big sets and with the full band, and we're stoked. I've been to Caddy Shack a few times. I haven't played a full band show there yet, so we're excited about that.
And your band has a name. What's the name of your band?
We call it the American Soul.
That's it. Yeah, the American Soul. Yeah. Well, and there's definitely a soulful element to what you do on this record, and we'll talk more about that and about making the record and everything. But how would you like to start? What would you like to start with here?
We'll play a track here off the record. It's called Fleetwood Brougham, and it's actually was written by Chris Castino from the Big Woo. He gave it to me for the record. So, yeah, we'll start off with that one. Say what you will about my haircut. Say what you will about my clothes. Love my thoughts out of fashion. I'm short on the cash, Lord knows. Spend my check on my baby. I give her everything she needs. We've been together so long. She's the only one for me. Me and my baby. We're fitting right like a glove. Did you hear that sweet soul music? Can't you see that I'm in love? Me and my baby, we take the long way home. As everybody loves to see my Cadillac Fleetwood Brougham. From the club with my guitar, step to the parking lot. All the fellas gather round, they wanna get what I've got. Well, keep your hands to yourself. Oh, you see a man getting me. My baby knows I'm jealous. My baby's longing me. Me and my baby, we do right like a dove. That sweet soul music. Can't you see that I'm in love? Me and my baby, we take the long way home. 'Cause everybody loves to see my Cadillac Fleetwood Brougham. Oh yeah. Woo. Baby, won't you let it slide? I know how you love to ride. Call your number, VA 64 425. Yeah, well, me and my baby, we fit right like a glove. Did you hear that sweet soul music? Can't you see that I'm in love? Me and my baby, we take the long way home. 'Cause everybody loves to see. My baby, we've been writing like a thumb. Can't you hear that sweet soul music? Can't you see that I'm in love? Me and my baby, we take the long way home. 'Cause everybody loves to see my Cadillac Fleetwood Brougham.
Yeah. That's Mark Joseph live from Studio A with a tune from his new album, The Musician and the Muse. And tell me about that name.
Oh, The Musician and the Muse. It actually relates to the
cover art. It was a piece that my grandfather did in 1957. It was a print that he made, and it's entitled "The Musician and the Muse." And I love the piece, and it's somewhat musical to me. And also, my grandfather was a huge influence on me, and so I felt it was an apt title for the record, you know. He actually went on to study printmaking in Japan in 1969. So this is an early piece. He was sort of experimenting with the medium at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So he was an artist.
He was. He had many different mediums, from oil painting to sculpture and many others. And he loved music as well. He wasn't very good at it, but he loved it very much. And it always encouraged me to play.
Well, that's wonderful, because if you already kind of have that creative spark in your family, then people are less likely to say, you want to do what with your life when
true.
You say you want to be a musician.
This is true. And art was fun, and it was always creative, but it was also serious business, too. And it's true. It's interesting you mentioned that, because that is an interesting sort of part of my upbringing. And also, like, any time that sort of you can get that different perspective on creative thinking and creative arts. I mean, that is the world. That's what makes the world go round, right? Oftentimes, like music, well, we got music programs being cut and art programs being cut everywhere you look, you know. And it's so important. And I'm very, very blessed and very lucky to have grown up with my grandfather around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to have to think that you have to justify why these are positive things and why people wouldn't support them. So it's interesting.
It's true.
It's hard to understand that perspective, but I know it's one a lot of people hold, unfortunately. So you did this album, and you mentioned that one was written by Chris of the Big Woo.
Yep.
And I was wondering about that, because there's a few tunes on here. There's a few kind of, you know, well-known tunes. Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, Mystery
Yep.
Train, you do those.
Yep.
So I was wondering how much of it was covers and how much of it was new stuff, whether from you or from other
Yep.
people.
Yep, we got the two classic blues tunes on there, Mystery Train and Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, which is back, that's from the 20s, I think. But, we put those on there just because I'm sort of... I feel like I'm new in the blues world a little bit, so I wanted to sort of put some, do my take on a few classics. And then Chris gave me that song for the record. So that's the first time that's ever been released or recorded. And then the rest of them are co-writes with me and my producer, Steve McCormick. So,
nice.
So, yeah. So the and it was a really fun, collaborative record to do. It was the first record I've ever worked front to back with a producer on the Mark Joseph stuff. And it was a real pleasure. Steve McCormick is a phenomenal producer, engineer from who lives in L.A. And we just had a great, great experience working together. We co-wrote and he produced the whole thing. And I sat back and just trusted the process and enjoyed the collaboration element of it. And I really feel like it shows in the work we did.
So how do you know him? How did you meet him?
Steve actually... he went to a Carleton College in my hometown, Northfield, back in the early 80s. So he has some Northfield roots, and so we met through mutual friends through Northfield. We've kept in contact through the years and done a few things here and there. But then in the past, 2-3 years, we reconnected and started he started flying out here every 3-4 months from doing some shows, playing some of festivals and things like that. And then last summer I just, I kind of made my mind up, this is what I wanted to do. And he was there and ready to work and really believed in what I was working on. And so that's kind of how it fell in.
So what made you want to go in a more blues direction on this one?
Well, it's like going back home. I played guitar because of the blues. I saw B.B. King when I was 12 years old. It's my roots in music. It's my roots in guitar. And it was the first moment when I saw B.B. King. It was the first moment in my whole life where I felt like I was sort of struck by lightning, in that I always loved music before that, but I had recently gotten a guitar, but I didn't know what to do with it yet. And when I saw B.B. King, and it was like 6 hours of blues, and it was all these great artists with him, Jimmy Vaughn and Etta James and G.E. Smith and Jay Giles Band, I mean, my mind was just blown. And I knew what I wanted to do from that moment on. And so my career has taken me through all these different genres and experiences and records and tours that I've done, from country to bluegrass and reggae and funk and all this different stuff. And it sort of dawned on me that I had never really done a proper blues record and spent time just playing the blues. It's always there, but like not so much in the forefront of like what I was presenting at the time. And so I felt like it was time to go back to the roots and go back to the start and play the blues again.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Northfield because it's kind of Northfield Day here. Yeah. On it's the Northfield Invasion. The next band is also from Northfield. They are coincidentally playing on another venue tonight. So that's cool that you have that Northfield connection also with your producer. But before we get back to the Northfield connection, so you mentioned that you wrote the songs with him. So did you do that when he would be back here, or did you do that before? Right. Well, while you were out there to produce the album, like were they kind of?
We did both.
Freshly. Okay.
Yeah, we did both.
So some of them you wrote like right there before you did the album.
Let's see. So it would have been 2019. So we had this epic writing session during a blizzard in March of about a year ago. We had played a gig at Welch Village down there at the ski hill, and we drove out of this crazy blizzard. It took a long time to get back to the city. So we went out for this nice dinner and got some wine and fish, and it was beautiful. And so after that, we just kind of hunkered down in the apartment, and we just started writing, and it's amazing. We drew off of a bunch of those sessions. I brought some ideas to the table that were sort of voice memos and just short form sort of ideas that that I've been working on, and we just blended them together, a couple writing sessions. And then we did it very quickly, though. This is the quickest I've ever put a full length out, and I did that on purpose because I really want to capture the energy of the moment, as opposed to having a studio album that you sit with almost too long, you know. And that's kind of the battle that all recording artists deal with. You're trying to capture lightning in a bottle, but when you sit with it too long, sometimes it can sort of be overthought or overdone, maybe, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say. And so this one, I really wanted to capture that raw blues energy in it. And so we did it within a space. The whole thing was recorded in a space of 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it came together quickly. Steve and I have a great writing approach and a great work ethic. We like to work fast, but it's fun for us, you know. It's like working quickly, but also like doing it like not overthinking it, like getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
Just going in and getting it right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how it's the best way I can think to describe it, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes when you do that, when you kind of capture a song early to catch that lightning in a bottle, then it seems like it can really change when you're performing it. Do you find that to be true?
Sure. Yeah. And I think all songs, like at least for me anyways, all the songs that I write end up taking on different feels live and for different reasons too, whether you're, you know, depending on if you're performing solo or for a full band or whatever it may be. For the first time in a long time, some of these songs we had just written and they had never been played live once,
mm-hmm.
Before we recorded. So mm-hmm. that was really a fun experience to kind of do it again. I hadn't done it in many years where we just wrote the song, recorded it in the studio, and then went out and played it for the first time ever, which is really fun because mm-hmm. then you get to see, like, usually with most of my projects, I've played my stuff live a bit at least or a lot before it's recorded, you know. So that was really fun the first few times we played some of these songs, and to see the reactions and people's faces and people getting excited about it, you're like, all right, this is good, you know.
Nice. There's a lot of people named in the credits here. So did you were some of your regular band out there with you recording this, or did you have people that Steve knew, or how did that work?
So we did the whole record in 2 3-day sessions, one of them which was in St. Paul and one of which was in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And so a little both.
Okay.
We pulled in Mylon Fizer is on drums, a phenomenal gospel drummer from Twin Cities, and he's on 6 of the 8 tracks. And then we've got Stephanie Devine, who sings with me on a regular. She'll be there tonight at Caddyshack. She's on Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out. And a couple other Minnesota players. And then on the L.A. side, we have the amazing Stanley Behrens on harp, who's currently with the band War. He was in Canned Heat for many years. And then also he was Willie Dixon's side guy for 20 plus years. So he's on the harp and saxophone. And we got John Avila from Oingo Boingo on bass. He's an old friend of mine. And John is just a phenomenal musician and producer in his own right. And, yeah, he plays bass on 3 of the songs. And, and Heather Donovan, which is Steve's wife, she sang on a bunch of it, just world-class voice. So I'm just really lucky to have so many talented people come through on the project.
Yeah, that's great. Well, and it sounds really great, what I've heard of it. Thank it sounds you. Really, really wonderful. Well, let's do another song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. What do you want to play next?
Let's see. Let's do, we'll do Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out.
Mark Joseph live from Studio A, and another one from his new album, The Musician and the Muse. So how did you pick those covers, really well-known covers that you did? Because there's so much to choose from in the blues repertoire. Were those ones you were already playing?
Yeah.
Did you just favorites of yours?
Well, Mystery Train's one that I've always... I feel like Mystery Train is like this... It's such a quintessential part of the blues canon. Everybody's got a version of it, so I felt like, all right, I'm gonna do a blues record, I'm gonna put my take on it, you know. And so we did sort of an arrangement, a different arrangement, I think, at least, or maybe not an atypical one, and just kind of put my spin on it, you know, and kind of my contribution to that bit of it. Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, you know, it's just a song that's always grabbed me. I think it's just a quintessential sort of, it's like jazz meets blues. It's like such a beautiful blend of both styles, and I don't know, something about it. Mm-hmm. You know, 100 years later, it still makes perfect sense. So.
Yeah, it's a keeper.
I don't know, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm not exactly sure why, but, you know, it's all, I guess maybe that's part of the blues is tradition. It's like, it's a language, it's a tradition, it's something that has roots, and so I feel like part of playing the blues is also going into those places and sort of experiencing that music, interpreting that music in some ways.
So we were going to talk about Northfield. So that's your hometown, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And because the next band that's coming in is also from Northfield, and their name apparently has a connection to this place in Northfield called The Key that Kevin, our community relations person, was telling me about because he's from Northfield as well. So tell me about The Key and the significance of that in the music scene in Northfield.
Yes, The Key is a well, it is still is a wonderful community, youth place. It's a place for kids to go and be creative. You know, there's shows. They have community meetings, all kinds of different activities. It was started by some kids a little bit older than me, but not too much. A couple of years before, but. Yeah, it was growing up. I played a lot of my first shows there, and it was just really a fun and creative place to go in town. You know, so many great memories of The Key, and it's so cool to see that kids are still going there and still doing stuff. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's so important. I think Kevin told me that Northfield is a town of around 20,000, something like that.
Yep.
So, you know, to have a place where kids can go and be creative and do those things, I think is really, and have something to do.
Absolutely.
I think it's wonderful. And I know here in Duluth, on and off through the years, we've had, you know, things sort of like that, projects sort of like that. But I'm not sure if there's anything as long running as that. So that's pretty cool that it's been around Northfield for so long.
I think every town in America should have one, you know, something like that. It's important, man, kids to hang out in places that they're safe. And if you feel like they can be creative, they have resources to do so. And that's the thing about The Key. It was wide open. I mean, seriously, any idea you might have. I remember they had a project where they opened a restaurant for a minute. It was like kids were working there and doing all kinds of – I mean, it's just you name it. They've done so much great stuff out of there. Yeah, I have a bunch of old VHS tapes that I'm going to someday pull out of the archive and transfer so everybody in the world can see some of it.
Nice. Well, maybe there'll be an anniversary or something for the venue and you can
should go back there and play
out.
A show. All right, we're going to do it. I think this is it. I think the universe is saying I should play a show at The Key.
I think that's it.
Let's do it.
Well, that's pretty cool. And you mentioned that you saw B.B. King when you were 12. And so who was the blues fan in your family that brought you to that?
It was, it's funny you should ask that. Well, really, it's my mom. You know, my mom was she encouraged that. She bought me the guitar and the amp when I was 11. You know, it was kind of one of these things where she's like, all right, you need to do something, you know. And she was kind of the visionary behind it. She made that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But no, was it her dad that was the artist or was that on the other?
Yes, it was her father.
Oh, okay, so she had that she had that creativity. Yay.
Yeah, she knew something I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful and thankful for her encouragement to learn how to play guitar. Those two things sort of happened simultaneously. She bought me the guitar 6 months later, saw B.B. King, and that was it. I mean, you ask anybody in my family, they're like, that was it. There was no. You know, my old man, like, I remember he tried to keep me to play sports, play basketball, and I was just not having it. It was just at that point, I just knew what I was going to do.
So is it, you weren't asking for a guitar, your mom just said, this is what you're going to do.
You know, I don't recall.
Because it's usually the other way around, so I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I don't recall specifically. There was a guitar shop in town called Centerfield Music that was owned by this great guy named Ted Vig, that was right downtown. I was probably walking by the storefront, seeing the guitars hanging there. You know, I may have asked for it. I don't recall that, but she certainly encouraged it and took initiative and made it happen. You know, and then lots and lots of, I mean, endless support from there on out, from the rest of my family to my early bandmates to fans and all over the world. I mean, I played 180 shows last year. I'm still doing this. I'm living a dream, literally, and it's. And I couldn't be more thankful and grateful for every opportunity I get to do this.
Do you remember the first song that you learned?
Oh, you know, is this thing on?
Go for it.
I'm pretty sure that's it. Yeah, I think that was it. Or the old Louie. It was only those two for like a while until I saw B.B. King, and I was like, oh, okay, now I know what to.
I know
where to go with this. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
All right. Let's do We'll do the Dose of Dr. John.
This is Mark Joseph live from Studio A, and another one from his new album, The Musician and the Muse. And that sounded great with just you and your guitar. So now I'm imagining it with that band that's going to be with you tonight. Yeah. And so where did that one come from, that tune?
That one, I was online, I was surfing the web, and I think I caught a video, a live stream of Dr. John's Second Line procession after he had, it was about 3 days after he passed away, and he's a huge influence on me and so many others, and such an iconic performer and singer and writer and personality, all the above. And I saw I saw the second line, the feet of the second line. Now, here's the thing, though. It had been going on for 3 days. It had been going on for days on end.
Yeah.
And so I think I had seen this stream before, and then I saw, like, days later, and it's still going strong. Mm. And it just really blew me away, and it was a reminder of, like, what a powerful influence he was on so many people, and what a great loss it was when he passed. So it struck me, and I wrote the song, you know,
nice.
Trying to celebrate him and just also the city of New Orleans, you know, like he embodied that place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's New Orleans has a special place in my heart as well, and such another huge influence on me. All the music comes from there.
Mm, nice. I really enjoyed during the Grammys when they were paying tribute to all the musicians and music industry people that had passed, and they ended with Dr. John, and then Trumbo and Shorty, and I think it was the Rebirth Brass Band came yep. out and did a yep. little thing, and that was so nice. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mark.
Thank
it's
you.
Such a pleasure to have you here. And again, this is the stripped-down version of what people are going to hear tonight
That's
at the
right.
Caddy Shack, and that is in Lincoln Park right there on Superior Street. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8 o'clock, and you said you're going to do a couple of sets. So.
Yep, we're going to play a bunch of music, and I want to say thank you, KUMD, and everybody for having me, and everybody out there listening, support your local community radio. It's so important for so many, many reasons. So thank you, and we love you guys.
And thank those and support those independent musicians, too. Right back at you, Mark.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.